The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it out. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. We live in a fallen world. It's evident now more than ever. Capitol building takeovers, congressmen getting into physical fights, both sides of the political aisle flame to physical aggression or verbal abuse towards the other. People are enraged at social media censorship. All while this is going on, a virus has caused a pandemic, making people fear for their lives, perhaps even worse than death, navigating life without your livelihood. Domestic abuse, verbal and physical, is on the rise as tensions in a sinful world strengthen its grip on the faithful family. Marriages suffer at the hands of impatience and dissatisfaction. And anxiety from everything has caused fear of the future, making us numb to the peace of God's presence. The evidence of our fallen creation is all around us, even within ourselves. Certainly we can marry ourselves to the world's problems and concerns. We can nod our heads to insurrection and go along with the unproductive foul talk towards those who disagree. We can tell people off, show them the world as we see it. We can seek alternatives for marriage as God has given it to us. We can get so caught up in the cares of the world that life in Christ is no longer enjoyed. But doing such is a temptation of the old Adam. The old Adam marries himself to a fallen world and the pride that comes along with that. Being married to the world, the old Adam receives everything the world has to give, which, to be honest, isn't really much. This world promises no life, no hope, no godliness, and no favor with God. It promises hatred, showing dishonor and disrespect to those who disagree, and impatience with one another. The old Adam shares in the promises of the world. No life, no hope, no godliness. The old Adam shows himself as impatient, dishonorable, disrespectful, and abrasive. Ultimately, Satan is behind all of this, just as he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He wants our old Adams to be prideful, especially as it leads to neglect of care for our neighbor, and neglect of care that God gives us in worship. By doing so, Satan successfully leads sheep away from the Good Shepherd, one care of the world at a time. But as we saw last week with the baptism of our Lord, the baptized are made new, born again from above. The baptized receive the new Adam, that is Jesus himself, and the old Adam is drowned in the waters. And wherever Jesus is, he brings a new creation. That is, Christ comes to renew a fallen world. recreating a sinful people in his image. That's the work of Christ that we see in our gospel text. At the wedding of Cana, Jesus begins his earthly ministry. He brings a new creation, because the old creation cannot provide for itself. That's evident in the fact that the wine ran out at the wedding. In that culture, the wine is provided by the groom in the wedding, but after some miscalculation, the wine runs out. So Jesus shows himself to be the true bridegroom by providing for the marriage feast. Jesus' provision of new wine, which is better than the former wine, is not just some party trick. This isn't just some fun thing that Jesus did, but rather it manifests Jesus to the world as the true bridegroom. It manifests Jesus as the bridegroom who provides the wine for the marriage celebration, because the world has fallen short of its promises. The bride is the church, God's people. In this divine marriage between God and the church, God gives everything of himself, his forgiveness, his holiness, his kindness, his generosity. He gives these things to sinners, because sinners continually consume the wine which runs out. But sinners act out on the old Adam, which dwells with sinful flesh. They consume the things of this world, which are temporary, not eternal. This is the old Adam in us. The old Adam is the sinner in us that dwells in and with our sinful flesh. The old sinful flesh wastes away. It ends with death and eternal destruction. The old sinful flesh is led by Satan towards a godless existence. Anything good that the flesh has to offer eventually runs out. Satan tempts all people to marry themselves to such things because it gives power, wealth, status, and exaltation in this life. But be careful who you marry yourself to. To marry yourself to the old Adam is to commit adultery against God, who finds dissatisfaction and anger with such things. He desires his creation to marry themselves to him. That's why he sent his Son in the flesh to the world. That's why he performed the miracle at Cana, to reveal himself as the true bridegroom, through whom we are married to God. And through this divine marriage, he makes a new creation. We are born from above, through baptism, and are given the gifts of forgiveness and a new life. A new life lived in and through him. Our new life is lived through his forgiveness, through his essence and character, through his desires, not our own. We are a new creation. God throws out the old Adam and everything he'd have us do and say. He takes that old Adam and kills his desires on the cross. Through the cross, we are made a new creation, partaking of the very wine which our bridegroom provides in the Lord's Supper, being continually sanctified and made holy through the unending provisions of God. We are bathed in the cleansing waters of the cross through our baptism, which makes Christ's death and resurrection our own, giving everything that's needed to live as a new creation. And so when living as the new creation you are in Christ, don't lose sight of the Christian virtues when living, debating, and discussing in the secular world. Losing sight of godly living in the secular realm can eventually lead to marrying yourself to the cares of the world. Doing so separates you from the holy, sanctifying work that God performs in you. And instead of setting yourself apart from the world in holiness, you join the world in all its temporal cares. This isn't to say we should be voiceless in secular matters. Rather, set not your minds on earthly things, but heavenly things. Practice godly virtues, not satanic ones. Speak with love. and don't lose sight of what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show them hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. There are times when the gospel must be defended, and the teachings of Christ maintained to a sinful world. But first, don't confuse the world's problems and power grabs with the gospel in Christian living. Some things may be intertwined, like marriage, life, and honor of God's created order. But always pick virtue over tribe. Satan's work pervades party lines. Second, if Christians act in ungodly ways, all it does is destroy the witness to Christ. Because pride, hatred, dishonor, and disrespect is a byproduct of the old Adam. It does not show who we are as a new creation in Christ. Putting off the world's desires and pleasures, and seeking a God-pleasing life towards God and neighbor. It's imperative now, more than ever, to marry ourselves to Christ. Do this every Sunday by sharing in the joy of forgiveness with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Receive Christ's body and blood. Hear the absolving word of God. Remember who you are as a new creation in your baptismal waters. By making this love a habit, by continually undergoing the new creative powers of our Savior, the marriage bond between you and God is unshakable, able to withstand the assaults and temptations of Satan. And through this habit of receiving forgiveness, the Lord heals anxious souls, giving them rest in His provisions. The Lord bless us to live as the new creation He's made us to be. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.